Hey there. It's Sunday, January 12th, 20th, and 26th. Before we dive into markets and mega deals, we need to talk about what's happening in Iran right now, because it's the kind of story that doesn't make enough noise until it's too late to ignore. Iran's streets are filling with protesters again, and this time Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei isn't mincing words. He's calling demonstrators vandals and saboteurs, blaming the U.S. for instigating unrest and signaling that a harsher crackdown is coming. What makes this moment different from past protests? The economic pressure is reaching a breaking point. Iran's currency has been in freefall. Inflation is crushing ordinary Iranians, and the combination of sanctions and government mismanagement has created conditions where people have less and less to lose. Khamenei's rhetoric suggests the regime sees these protests as an existential threat rather than just another wave of discontent. When authoritarian governments start using language like this, it typically precedes a significant escalation in state violence. For investors and global markets, Iran instability matters for oil prices, Middle East security dynamics, and the broader geopolitical chessboard, where Iran plays a key role from Syria to Yemen. Keep this one on your radar. Now let's turn to markets, because Friday capped off a remarkable first week of 2026. The S&P 500 closed at roughly 6,966, up about 0.6% on the day and marking a fresh all-time high. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained around 0.5% to close above 49,500, also a record. And the NASDAQ Composite surged 0.8%, powered by semiconductor stocks. For the week, all three major indexes climbed more than 1%. Which is significant because there's an old Wall Street adage, as goes the first five trading days of January, so goes the year. Historically, when markets are up during those first 5 days, there's an 83% chance the full year finishes positive. That's not a guarantee, obviously, but it's a data point worth noting. Here's the interesting tension playing out. Markets are hitting records despite a jobs report that came in weaker than expected. The economy added just 50,000 jobs in December versus expectations of about 70,000. Unemployment ticked down to 4.4%, but the overall picture shows what analysts have been calling a no-hire, no-fire economy. Companies aren't laying people off aggressively, but they're also not expanding their workforces. For the Federal Reserve, this cements their position to hold rates steady at the January 27 to 28 meeting. Traders are now pricing in a 97% chance of no rate cut this month, up from 88% just a day before. The market's message is clear. Weak job growth means the Fed stays cautious, and that's actually good news for stocks because it removes a source of uncertainty. The semiconductor rally deserves special attention because it's not just about AI hype anymore. It's about actual infrastructure build-out. Micron jumped 10%, Intel soared nearly 11%, and Lam Research gained almost 9% on Friday alone. Intel got a boost when President Trump praised CEO Lip-Bu Tan on Truth Social, noting that the U.S. government is proud to be a shareholder of Intel after taking a roughly 10% stake in the company back in August. Trump wrote that he wants to bring leading-edge chip manufacturing back to America. And that's exactly what's happening with Intel's new Panther Lake processors unveiled at CES. The question investors are grappling with now, can corporate profits justify these valuations? That answer starts coming this week. Speaking of this week, earnings season officially kicks off Monday, and it's a big one. JP Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and BlackRock all report. These aren't just important because they're huge financial institutions. They're important because they give us a real-time snapshot of the economy. Investment banking fees, loan demand, consumer spending patterns, wealth management flows, it all shows up in bank earnings. And we get our first clean inflation read since September when CPI data drops Tuesday, followed by PPI on Wednesday. The combination of earnings and inflation data will either validate current market levels or trigger a reality check. Now let's talk about the biggest mining deal in history. Rio Tinto and Glencore confirmed Thursday they're in preliminary talks to merge, creating a roughly $200 billion behemoth that would dominate global copper supply. If this goes through, and there's a February 5th deadline for Rio Tinto to submit a formal offer, the combined company would produce about 1.7 million metric tons of copper annually, surpassing even industry leader BHP. Why does copper matter so much right now? It's the metal that powers the energy transition and AI infrastructure. Electric vehicles need significantly more copper than gas cars. Data centers require massive amounts for power distribution. And copper prices just hit record highs above $13,000 per ton this week. Here's where it gets interesting. This is actually the second time Rio Tinto and Glencore have tried to merge. Talks collapsed in 2024 over valuation disagreements and what to do about Glencore's coal business. Rio Tinto exited coal years ago for ESG reasons, but Glencore remains one of the world's largest coal producers. That's a massive sticking point. One scenario being discussed is Rio Tinto acquiring all of Glencore, including the coal operations, then potentially spinning off the coal business separately. The geopolitical angle matters too. China's antitrust regulators blocked a similar mega merger back in 2008 when they feared it would create an iron ore monopoly. This time, the battle will center on copper and lithium, which China views as strategic resources for its own industrial policy. This Rio Tinto Glencore deal is part of a much larger story. M&A is roaring back. According to analysis from Wachtell Lipton, 2025 deal volume in the United States hit approximately $2.3 trillion, up 49% from 2024. Global M&A volume jumped over 25%. Even more striking, there were four deals over $40 billion in 2025, compared to zero such deals in 2024. The biggest included Union Pacific's $85 billion combination with Norfolk Southern, Netflix's $82.7 billion acquisition of Warner Bros., and Palo Alto Networks' $25 billion acquisition of CyberArk. What changed? Two things. First, the regulatory environment shifted dramatically. The Trump administration brought back more traditional antitrust analysis instead of the anti-consolidation mindset of the previous administration. That doesn't mean companies get a free pass, but it means dealmakers can actually model regulatory risk instead of facing unpredictable novel theories. Second, debt markets reopened aggressively. Private credit funds emerged as a critical source of acquisition financing, offering borrowers new options and structures that weren't available before. Private equity had its best year since 2021, with global deal volume reaching approximately $2 trillion. The sectors driving activity are exactly what you'd expect: technology, AI infrastructure, energy, healthcare, and banking. In banking specifically, we saw a sea change in regulatory receptivity for consolidation. Capital One completed its $35.3 billion acquisition of Discover in May, and multiple regional bank mergers got greenlit. The consensus among regulators now is that consolidation can actually result in a stronger, more stable industry. For 2026, the momentum looks strong despite concerns about tariffs and geopolitical uncertainty. The pipeline is full, and as long as debt markets stay open and regulatory clarity holds, expect more mega deals. CES wrapped up this week in Las Vegas, and if there was one overarching theme, it was AI fatigue. Don't get me wrong, AI was everywhere, but the vibe had shifted. Instead of breathless excitement, there was a sense of, okay, what can this actually do for me? The standout moment wasn't AI-related at all. Samsung showed off a completely creaseless foldable OLED display. For 7 years, the visible crease has been the compromise you accept when buying a foldable phone. Samsung Display cracked it. The ironic twist? The rumored iPhone Fold will likely be the first device to use this technology, not a Samsung phone, because Samsung Display operates separately from Samsung's phone division. The real tech trends emerging from CES paint a picture of 2026. RGB LED TVs are coming to market, promising wider color ranges and better brightness than traditional displays. Solid-state batteries are tantalizingly close for motorcycles and phones, offering faster charging and longer life. AI wearables want to be your second brain. Think smart rings that transcribe meetings and lapel pins that summarize conversations. And smart glasses are finally going mainstream, with everyone from Asus to Ray Neo launching models that don't look ridiculous. But here's the reality check on humanoid robots. They're still not ready. LG's Cloyd robot took forever to put a single wet towel into a washing machine. The robots look impressive on stage, but watching them attempt basic tasks reveals we're still years away from practical home robots. The smart money is on specialized robots, vacuum cleaners with legs, lawn bots with LiDAR navigation, not general-purpose humanoids. One more thread worth pulling. Greenland is suddenly at the center of a geopolitical storm. President Trump doubled down this week, saying the U.S. will intervene whether they like it or not. This isn't just bluster about acquiring territory. It's about rare earth minerals. Greenland has two massive deposits of rare earth elements, and China currently controls over 90% of global rare earth processing. These materials are essential for everything from smartphones to military equipment. Trump's administration has been taking equity stakes in U.S. rare earth companies and negotiating bilateral agreements with partners like Saudi Arabia, Japan, and Australia to build rare earth capabilities outside China's orbit. Greenland represents the ultimate prize in this competition. The broader geopolitical landscape for 2026 looks fragmented and tense. U.S.-China competition will remain the dominant dynamic, with an anticipated summit between Trump and Xi Jinping in April that could produce a tentative trade arrangement. Europe is struggling. France, Germany, and the UK all have weak, unpopular governments dealing with populist pressures and economic malaise. The war in Ukraine will likely see some de-escalation as both sides face resource constraints and look toward negotiated settlement. And domestic politics in the U.S. will increasingly drive foreign policy, especially as midterm elections approach later this year. For investors, this translates into structurally higher inflation risk, lower growth expectations, and more differentiated outcomes across regions and sectors. The smart play is positioned at critical minerals, defense modernization, and AI infrastructure, where national security imperatives override short-term economic concerns. It's a world where geopolitics and markets are increasingly inseparable. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.